You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, Tim McMaster here, taking you around the National League East for MLB.com Extras. This is our All-Star Edition, our writers around the NL East, able to catch up with former All-Stars. Let's start with the Marlins, Joe Fusaro, catching up with Andre Dawson.
Hello everyone, this is Joe Fusaro. I'm here with Hall of Famer Andre Dawson, an eight-time All-Star, and Andre is going to reflect on some of his favorite All-Star moments. Hawk, you know, kind of take us back to, you know, the All-Star game was so prime back in that day and so, had so much attention, so much fun. You know, what kind of stood out, some of the big moments for you?
Well, what stood out the most was the opportunity to meet the president prior to first pitch on the day of the game itself. You were with the elite of the game, and for an instance, you know, that was exciting and fun feel because, you know, it was what it was. It was the All-Star game. It was the best of both leagues going out and just having some fun for a day, for a couple of days. And I had some ups and downs. I recall my very first home run derby. I think the very first home run derby champion. A little bit different than the spectacle it is today, made for television event it is today. But also probably my only home run in the National League came off of Roger Clemens after he knocked me down. We were in Toronto and I hit the next pitch off the restaurant out in left center field. So those were my highlights. And then, of course, getting the opportunity to play in Montreal in that event that Canada had seen for the first time.
Paul, tell me, you know, what the All-Star game meant to players, especially from your generation, to get in and represent your league, represent your team and your city. What did that mean to a player back then?
Oh, you were thrilled to get that opportunity, and you cherished it. You looked forward to it. We had the attitude, the National League, that is, that we were on a run and we wanted to win the game at all costs. And we went out, our approach was to go out there, the limited time that you do have, try to make a pretty good showing, but for the most part, do what it takes to win that ball game, because we did. We took a lot of pride in it.
Yeah. Some of the more thrilling games. We'll talk about that, you know, as, you know, what stood out and, you know, the drama and the thrill of some of the thrilling endings.
Well, you know, like I said, I played in eight of them. I played and I would sit from a distance and, you know, watch the other guys, how they went about their business, their approach to that particular game. For the most part, they were low scored ball games, and you had a dominance of pitching in a sense, because you had the elite pitching in the game. I think seeing Gerrit Carter win an MVP award, hitting a couple of home runs in a ball game, I think we were in Cleveland to pull a game out actually for us. That was thrilling in a sense, because he was one of my teammates. Seeing Tim Raines go out his very first All-Star game and you know, put on a pretty spectacular performance. You really pulled for the guys that were your teammates at the time, because, hey, you know, we represented our ball clubs, and if you were fortunate enough to get two, three players off of your team, you know, that was something that you looked at and you marveled at that accomplishment, because, again, it was the elite to play the game at the time.
This is Bill Latson from MLB.com. I'm here with one of the greatest people I ever met, Chad Cordero. He once played for the Nationals and the Expos and the Seattle Mariners. Chad, thanks for being with me. Chad, first of all, you are the first member of the Nationals to go to the All-Star game. And tell me how that feeling was like when you went to the All-Star game.
I mean, it was great. You know, it was only my second year in the league. You know, 2 years removed from Talisket Fullerton, so I was still young. still trying to learn everything, get all the info, all the knowledge I could. But I remember getting the call from, or getting the notice from Frank Robinson when we were in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember sitting in the locker room, and they were about to announce the All-Star pick from our team and stuff. And I didn't even think I was gonna even had a chance to do it or to make the team. And when he called my name, I was like no way. So I couldn't believe it. And all, you know, like I remember Brian Snyder's like, go call your parents. So I remember going to the laundry room back in Wrigley Field and called my parents and told them what happened, and they were all excited. So, you know, it was a pretty amazing feeling to get my name called as being an All-Star, and something that I would never, ever, ever forget.
Chad, you know, you had a great season that year. You appeared in 74 games, had a 1.82 ERA. You finished fifth in Cy Young voting and 14th in the MVP. It was a great year all around. And what I remember most about that is that Frank Robinson used you a lot. And talk about that season.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, Frank used me a lot. I mean, I remember going, because, you know, as a closer, when you're on the road, you don't necessarily throw in tie ball games. You don't really come in the eighth inning when it's a tie ball game. You don't even go really multiple innings on the road. And he was having me do that all the time. I remember there was a game in Cincinnati. I want to say we were tied in the eighth inning, and he had me come in. And I want to say I think I threw maybe two and two thirds. That game, and I think we ended up losing in the 12th, I think it was. But I mean, that was a perfect example of how much and how willing he was to use me in situations where didn't even call for a save, just kind of keep it close. So, you know, it was exciting. I loved it. You know, I loved every opportunity I had to go out there and to throw. But you know, I never expected to be able to throw that many games so quickly. You know, I mean, I remember coming off at Fullerton, I was only throwing maybe 35 to 40 games a year, and here I am, you know, now throwing between 70 and 80 games a year. So it was a big change for me. It was something I had to get used to, but I mean, I loved it. I loved the challenge. I loved being able to have my name called every day. You know, it didn't matter what type of situation it was. It didn't matter who I had to face. But you know, I loved every moment of it, and I wouldn't change anything. So, you know, that season was awesome. You know, I mean, and I was only, I think, 23 at the time, so you know, I was enjoying myself, you know, just soaking up everything, every opportunity that I could, and getting a chance to meet some of these guys that I grew up with. I mean, I remember at the All-Star game, sitting in the locker room next to John Smoltz, hearing him tell stories about him and Greg Maddux, or Billy Wagner teasing me about having a Snickers bar in the bullpen or something like that. You know, I was like, there's no way. It's like, I grew up watching these guys are here teasing me about it. So, you know, it was pretty awesome.
I mean, Frank Robinson gave you the chance when you were in Montreal, I mean, almost right away. And, I mean, I know you credit Frank Robinson a lot for your career. And could you talk about how much he meant to you?
Yeah, I mean, he never, ever gave up on me. I mean, even when I was struggling, I think it was when I was in Montreal. I mean, I didn't really necessarily have the best season as a closer once I took over the job in June from Rocky. You know, I think I wouldn't end up being like 14 of 18, I think it was, in save opportunities. And, you know, there were some games where I struggled, but there's also some times where I struggled with my command. And I remember him calling me in the office in San Diego, and I thought, oh no, I'm not getting sent down. And no, it was basically just to boost my confidence, saying, don't worry about your stats, don't worry about your walks. You know, what he's like, basically what you're trying to do is you're trying to nibble because you're not trusting your stuff. And so I was like, huh, that makes total sense, because I was nibbling. You know, I was trying to, like, be too perfect where I was walking a lot of guys. I think I ended up walking, like, 41 guys, I think, that year as a reliever, and that's a lot. You know, and so because I was afraid of having guys hit it. And once he told me that, I really kind of turned it on, because I remember that next year is when I think I only walked maybe 14 people, I think it was.
Right.
So I kind of really, you know, I kind of, like, I took that to heart. I really challenge myself into not allowing myself to nibble and not to be afraid. But I mean, without that advice, who knows, you know, where I would have been. But I mean, he always had a lot of confidence in me. He never gave up. You know, even when I was struggling, even when I was, you know, struggling towards the end of 2005, he never gave up on me and stuff. And that's something that I'm always, I can always be grateful for. I mean, without him, who knows where my career would have been.
I just want people to know Chad Cordero is the best Nationals closer in their history. The guy has 128 total saves in Montreal and Washington combined. No one's even close in that category. And, Chad, I just want to ask you, in the long run, do you think pitching so many games, it wasn't just 2005, I checked, and you pitched in like 60, 70 games after that per year.
Right.
I'm just wondering, did that hurt you in the long run in terms of your shoulder?
I think it did. I remember talking to my parents a couple of times about it, and they were just trying to figure out what happened. And I think it was. I think it was being rushed up to the leaves too quickly. You know, my arm never had a chance to really develop and get used to the grind that baseball is. You know, the season that it is. You know, being 162 games. Because you know, college you're playing maybe 56 games. As a reliever, you're maybe throwing in, like I said, 35 to 40 games at most. Now here I am throwing in 70 to 80. And on top of those 70 to 80 games that you're in, that doesn't even take into account how many times you're getting up and not even going to games. So if you add all that into it, it comes out to be over 100 games. And so, you know, because I remember, especially in 2005, I mean, I was up, I want to say, 6 out of 7 days of the week.
Oh, yeah.
And the majority of the time I was going in, you know.
Right.
So, you know, it was, I think that probably had a lot to do with it, is just not, you know, developing my shoulder the way, or my arm the way it needed to be, you know, getting used to the season. Cause I know now guys are now, you know, they have a chance to get used to that long grind of a season. And I never really had a chance to do that. You know, I think I spent about a month and a half in the minor leagues. And so I never had a chance to develop my arm the way maybe it should have, but I mean, I wouldn't change anything. You know, I had a great career. I loved it. Unfortunately, it ended a little bit earlier than I would have liked, but I mean, I got to do something that I grew up wanting to do, and do something that kids all over this country want to do. You know, I'm one of the lucky few who had a chance to do it. So, you know, it's unfortunate my career ended so soon, but at the same time, you know, I wouldn't change anything.
Chad, do you follow the Nationals now, and what do you think of them?
Of course, man. I'm still a huge fan. My parents still watch them. They still have the whole baseball package, so they're always calling me up pretty much about every other day, giving me updates about what happened, who got hurt, who did this, who did that. You know, so I'm still a huge Nationals fan. You know, I want to be able to go back there and, you know, maybe one day help out and do something for the club. You know, I love that city. I love the fans. I want to be part of that community and do something for the Nationals. And hopefully one day I'll have a chance to do it, because I love that city. You know, it's the capital, you know, of the greatest country in the world. So there's no way, you know, I could not love it, you know. So being able to play there was awesome. And be able to still follow the team and seeing how well they're doing is, you know, is great. So hopefully I'll be able to come back one day and, you know, like I said, help out and do stuff. But, yeah, I still follow them all the time.
Chad, that's all the questions I have, and I want to thank you for allowing us to get to know you. You always let us get in, you know, with your family, your father, your grandmother, your mother. I'll never forget it, and even your brother and sister. And I really appreciate you letting us in to your life.
Yeah, no problem.
It was greatly appreciated.
Yeah, you're welcome, bro. No problem. Anytime.
This is MLB.com Extras with Anthony DeComo. We're talking All-Star Game this week, and I'm with four-time All-Star John Franco. John, what was it like, I guess, taking me through your experiences, starting with the first one to get named to the team? I know you didn't pitch in that first game, but just being around that atmosphere and living it.
Well, it was very exciting, that's for sure. I remember a funny story when I was with the Dodgers, and then I got traded to Cincinnati. My roommate with the Dodgers was Dave Anderson, and they came into Cincinnati right before the All-Stars, and Tommy Lasorda was the manager. And I told my roommate, I told Tommy Lasorda, if he picks me, I have a $25,000 bonus. I'll give him a little bit. And I got picked to this day, 20, 30 years later, when I see Tommy still tells me that I still owe him money. So I tell him, well, I'm not going to give you money because I didn't pitch in it. But just getting selected and walking in that room with all those All-Stars, and a lot of those All-Stars I grew up watching, you know, with Ozzie Smith and Andre Dawson, and just, I was at all, you know, walking in there, and for me to be part of that, it was just a great experience.
Is it almost like getting called up to the big leagues again? You know, you walk in the clubhouse for the first time, you see all these big league players, and you're like, wow, I'm here. Is it almost that same sort of feeling to walk into that type of room?
Well, it's when you get selected, you feel like you're in an elite class now. You know, you're in that type of caliber player that your peers and your managers from other teams have selected you. It was really a truly great feeling. Very, very nervous. But it was a lot of fun, just a three-day experience, coming in, meeting all the guys, the festivities, the workouts, signing tons and tons of baseballs and bats and memorabilia stuff. So it was a lot of fun.
I think it was your second trip to the All-Star Game where you actually got to pitch in the game for the first time. I know it was kind of a different game back then. It was a different atmosphere. But what was that feeling like, being on the mound and knowing everyone you're facing is also an All-Star?
Nerve-wracking, you know. So I just try to treat it like any other game, but it really wasn't. When you're facing the best on the American League and you're with the best in the National League. So just try to make my pitches, make sure I didn't get hurt or didn't hurt the team, and get out of there as quick as possible. And fortunate for me, I got a couple pop-ups, I think it was, and then got out of it.
Do you have any, over the four games you did participate in or went to, do you have any particular highlights, anything that stands out, specific memories?
No, not really. You know, they're all very special. Being there, you know, each year with different group of guys. Some guys were there 4 years, the same time I was there. Some guys have been there 8 years straight, different managers, different ballparks, different areas. It was just a great experience to be at. You know, the pregame stuff, the after stuff, getting a ring. The thing, that's the one thing that I always cherish is the All-Star rings. You know, I have four of them. My first one, my father passed away, and I put it on his finger and buried him with an All-Star ring because he was very important to me. So that was something that I wanted to give him to take with him up to heaven. And I have three left, and I'll pass that on to my son.
Well, who in particular were you most eager, excited to meet? Who left the biggest impression on you, the players that you met?
Well, you know, when you're sitting in that locker room, they all leave big impressions. And, you know, I remember sitting next to Tony Gwynn and just listening to him talking, hitting, and Ozzie Smith, and, you know, this guy's, you know, they're just regular guys, you know. But in my mind, you know, they were the guys I grew up watching. And now I'm in the locker room with them and being part of that. And then the friendships over the years.
When the All-Star Game was here at Citi Field a couple of years ago, I know you played a big part of helping promote it. You were a bit of an ambassador for the game. Why was that important to you? What about the game in New York did you like so much?
Well, I think it's very important to promote the game of baseball, especially, you know, it's been a long time since the Mets have hosted an All-Star Game, and especially at this beautiful stadium. And to go around the city and promote it and try to promote the game around the country, I think it's important to get the word out there because, you know, our youth right now, we're losing them a little bit, and they're not as much as playing the game as much as I did when I was younger. So, you know, they have, like you heard Lawrence McCutcheon saying before in our interview there, that you know, they have the Snapchat and all these video games and their laptops and all that. So the kids are shying away from this game of baseball, and we have to try to get it back to them by doing little things like we're trying to do. You know, I started this Borough Cup tournament here in the city, and they're doing their academies all around the country. And it was important for me to be the face of one of the faces of the All-Star, to get out there and promote the game.
Before I let you go, I'll ask you one question on the Mets, on this Mets team. Obviously, you were a big part of this bullpen for a while. What do you think about the current group? Familia at the back end in particular has had a pretty sensational couple of years.
I think the one thing you can say about this bullpen has been very consistent. You know, and that's what you want out of your bullpen. You know, obviously, it's a long course of the season. You're going to have your bumps and bruises on the way. You're going to have some bad games. But I think this core of guys have been very consistent. And when you have Jeremy's at the end of the bullpen, that's a good guy to have, with throwing a 97-mile-an-hour sinker and a nasty slider and forkball. So Mets are very fortunate to have him at the end of the bullpen. He's one of the best in the league. He proved it last year, and it continued. He's leading the league in saves this year, so very fortunate to have him.
That's four-time All-Star John Franco for MLB.com. Thanks, John.
Now, you made it five times.
Yeah.
Now, they're in San Diego this year, and you were San Diego in 78. What do you remember about that All-Star game? You had two hits.
I remember facing Jim Palmer.
You got a hit.
Yeah.
What do you remember about that at bat?
I got a bunt hit, and I got a base hit.
Okay.
The only thing I remember about it is I remember, you know, somebody asked me about these All-Star games.
Yeah.
The thing that impresses me about it as a president of the league before every All-Star game, how important the game was.
Right.
I mean, I like the way the format is, but it wasn't. It was completely different.
Sure.
The intensity level, and obviously looking around and seeing all the players that you're playing with.
Yeah.
And being a singles hitter and not hitting home runs, I was in awe every time I went to an All-Star game.
Right.
But I just remember the atmosphere of every game. It was electric. I mean, it was next to the World Series. It was unbelievable. And the players that you played with in Seattle when I played, Parker making the throw home was,
yeah.
I mean, it was like, wow. I mean, every play is. When I explain these to the guys that made the All-Star game now, they couldn't believe it was that.
It was intense.
I guess, serious and intense. It was.
Yeah.
And I get it. It's different now. And
right.
They have a lot of fun with it, which is good.
Right.
But the meaning is still, you know, home field. I mean, whoever wins it gets the advantage. But the biggest thing was the atmosphere and the players that you were playing with. Because when I was going through the minor leagues, I remember watching television, watching Clemente and Aaron and Stargell. All those guys and sitting in the locker room and look around and go, wow, this is unbelievable.
Now, I feel like back then, you guys, there was a lot less camaraderie in games. Like you guys hated the Pirates.
Hated
you. Now you're in the All-Star game, and you're lockering next to one of these guys, and you're like, do you get along with them? Or do you put it aside, or do you still
I remember Clemente coming up and says, just congratulations. And,
right.
And I like watching you play. And I'm saying, here's Roberto Clemente telling me. But, I mean, you put it aside. It's really weird. And it's almost like as soon as that game's over, it's like, I hate your guts. Because we had a rival with Pittsburgh. It seemed like every time we played them, we'd get in a fight.
Yeah.
But guys would joke about it in the clubhouse. Okay. Hey, how about that neck ball so-and-so, Keeson threw, or when Schmitty got hit.
Yeah.
You could laugh about it when they're on your team, but as soon as you leave, the laughter's all over and you know it's back to what you're supposed to be doing.
Now, back then, how did you guys get to, like, now these guys get, like, private charters and, you know, little, they have their timeshares and they fly there. What did you do?
We had the Phillies would get us all on a flight.
Okay.
And it'd be a first-class flight.
Okay.
And, I mean, we didn't have any private jets or anything.
At least you got
somebody told me that there's certain organizations that have private jets that will fly their players. Like the Dodgers have one, or maybe Colorado. There's a couple of teams that have their own private jets.
So you got to do first class. You got a nice meal out of it.
Oh, we got everything. Yeah, I mean, we thought we were riding high. I mean, and you know, all the accommodations and everything were great.
Right.
The functions. You know, people say the first time you make it, you have no idea what it's like, and then after that, they go, "Oh, I don't want to go." But I never had that feeling.
Yeah.
There's so many functions. I'm sure going to parties. You have to do this. You know what? I didn't think that was a burden. But we only had 3 days off.
Right.
So, I mean, there was really, when you made the All-Star team back then, it really wasn't rest. I mean,
because
you were on a schedule where you had to get there, you had to work out, then you played, and then the next day you came back, and then you played baseball.
Right.
And so it's a grueling. The fact that they have a day off after it's all over.
That's nice.
You know, which is good. And you know, like, this is perfect for Herrera because we're here instead of being in Philly. Now he's got to fly all the way there.
Yeah.
So the fact, geographically, you like to be close to wherever that All-Star game is. But the one that stands out for me out of all of them was Philly in 76.
76.
The bird was starting that game. I'll never forget this. You know, he used to always talk to the ball.
Right.
And Pete says, I hope he talks to the ball. He says, because I got something for him to talk about. The first pitch. And you know what, Todd, I'm serious. The first pitch of the game, he hit a line drive. He went down, it went right by his head. And when he got the hit, he looked at the dugout. He was like, I told you. But it was pre-scripted.
That was great.
I mean, he said, I'm going to give him something to talk about. Then he'd get out there and he'd go.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
Yeah, it was.
Anything else you remember about that? When, like, did you guys get, like, swag or anything like that? Like, any souvenirs?
I mean, we got gifts
and stuff. Anything you still have that you...
I got them all.
You do? Okay.
Yeah, we got watches. We got... what else did we get? We got... at the time, I don't know what they were. They weren't tape boxes, but, you know, videos. And,
sure.
We always had gifts.
Yeah.
They gave you a big... it wasn't... It was a... emblem with the National League All-Stars on it.
Okay.
Got everybody's name on it.
Oh, neat.
But we got all that stuff. I still have it. I have all that. We got rings. We got All-Star rings.
Okay.
So we got all, obviously the gifts now are probably $5,000 each.
But, exactly.
You know, so I mean,
they're getting cars.
I'm sure they probably get a car at least for a year. I mean, free car for a year.
Right.
But you know what? We didn't have, to my knowledge, maybe it was, but I didn't. We didn't have you get $10,000 for making the
in your contract, right?
Yeah, we didn't have that. Because I mean, we used to talk about that. It was an honor to make the team,
right?
And that's the only thing that I don't. I'm not saying I dislike, but I understand now the money involved.
Yeah,
a guy that pitches Sunday can't pitch on Wednesday, which would be his throwing day would be Tuesday.
Right.
I mean, a guy like Madison Bumgarner, who's one of the elite pitchers, he can't pitch in the game.
Right.
That sort of bothers me.
Yeah.
And you have some guys that you question their injuries.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't even think guys would even thought about that. I mean, if you were hurt, you didn't even go.
Right.
But the fact that there's so many now.
A lot more subs this year.
Yeah.
Or in the last few years, it seems like every day there's a notification.
Yeah, it's not like it's a serious. It's almost like the World Baseball Classic. You
right.
know, everyone says, the other countries win. But we don't get our pitchers.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And you're not going to get them as long as the general manager. You think a general manager would say, "Go blow your arm out in February, and we'll see you the next year"?
Right.
Until they have a format. Well, I don't know if there ever is one, or if it's in the middle or the end. Until you get the Kershaws, the Bumgarners, the elite pitchers, you're not going to win a World Baseball
Right.
Class.
Right.
Because those other countries take it a lot more serious than we do, and it's the same thing with these All-Star games. The fact that the winner gets the home field, but you're not going to get a Bumgarner on the mound. So, are you beating the best?
Yeah,
I don't know if you're beating the best.
That's true. Yeah, you're not.
So
you want to face
it's,
him,
it's different
or you want if you're the National League, you want him on the mound,
right? Exactly,
because he can deal. How did you guys find out? Like, how did you find out you made your first? Like, it was a 74.
Yeah, Larry Shank.
Larry Shank tells you.
Yeah, he told
really
me.
Cool.
Yeah, he called me and I went, yeah, right.
You know, you at home serious. Or something? Were you at home?
Yeah,
or
we were
on the road.
Yeah, but he called me at my house that morning. I remember that. He says, "Hey, I just want to say you made the All-Star." Get out of here, man. He says, "Yeah, you made the All-Star."
That's so funny. Like now the PR guy would not be making that.
Right.
It would be the manager, or I don't know how GM or the manager would play in the office.
GM does it.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember the other day, Matt came down. He was in there with Pete, and then they brought O in.
Okay.
So the two of them.
Right.
And I imagine if they're on the road, I'm sure Matt would call whoever. The way it is now.
Right.
Yeah, it was like, serious, Larry. I said, first of all, is it a singles hitter? Come on, man.
Yeah, right.
You know, but it was different then. And it was an honor, though. It was truly an honor to play in every one of them. You know what? You didn't. You know, you say, I've read comments about guys, I didn't even get in the game. That wasn't even an issue then. It was an honor just to sit on the bench.
Right.
And if you got in the game, you went, yeah. But the biggest thing there was you want to win the game.
Right.
That was a priority. Both presidents of the league came into their dugout, the American League.
Right.
And they said, this thing is big. We need to win this game. And I remember the five I played in, we won every one of them. So.
I mean, for me,
we won like 10 or 11 in a row.
Yeah, you guys were on a roll. Yeah.
Right.
To me, I think it'd be just be cool, like, you know, you're always going to have five-time National League All-Star attached to your name.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I mean,
on whatever.
And if somebody that never played high school baseball, I look back at that and I go,
that's pretty amazing. Yeah.
Welcome to the next Braves podcast. I'm Mark Bowman here with Braves bench coach Terry Pendleton, who attended the last All-Star game that was played in San Diego in 1992. Terry, what are your memories of that game and that experience?
Well, I think the biggest thing was being in the locker room with all the, I guess you could say, the great players of the game. Just to get that experience and go in there and meet and hang out with some of those guys that you'd hang out on the field with, but you wouldn't get to spend locker room time with, you know. That was the first experience and a pretty good one. Got to know a number of people in that short period of time a lot better than I had in the past. And just the experience of going out on the field, having a good time, laughing and joking and really playing in an All-Star game next to one of my best friends in baseball, Ozzie Smith. Never got that opportunity in a Cardinal uniform, and got the opportunity when he was a Cardinal and I was a Brave.
Yeah, you look back at the names. There's 14 Hall of Famers that played in that game. You were coming off your MVP season. I have to think that you kind of walked in there and just – you were probably one of the central figures. You probably got a lot of attention coming off the MVP season.
Well, I did. I mean, it was special. Our team was special. But we had a number, I think it was maybe five or six of us in there from the Atlanta Braves. But I just think everybody have an opportunity to just settle down and be able to talk with you one-on-one or as a group, sit around and talk about what's happening, what's not happening, what should be happening, and laughing and joking and giving each other a hard time was a heck of an experience. There's no doubt about that. And like you said, to have that many Hall of Famers in one All-Star game was definitely something special, and to show the talent that we had there in the 90s.
You had Bobby Cox there with you, Tom Glavine, John Smoltz. They both pitched, and a guy who came in to relieve Glavine there in the second inning is a guy named Greg Maddux. Yes. And the guy who batted in front of you was Fred McGriff. And you got, you know, not only did you have a lot of your teammates at the time, but guys that you got to know real well in the future.
Well, there's no doubt about that. You know, you always face Doggy, and he was tough in facing him. But to have an opportunity, like I said, in the locker room, even the pitchers, you know, guys that you normally wouldn't even hang around with and talk with during an All-Star game, during an All-Star day, that was something special to be able to sit and talk with them and get to know them a little better. Because honestly, a Doggy in a Cub uniform, I hate it, to be totally honest with you. But to get to know him as a person, it was just something awesome. Something, you know, like we're talking about now, something to go back and talk about years after.
What about just to be able to do it there near your home? I know San Diego wasn't your home, but you're within an hour or two of home. That had to make it nice. I'm sure a lot of your family was able to get there easily.
Yeah, it cost me more money, but yeah, it was an experience. I know my family is fired up to be able to go and not have to travel all over the world to do it. But it was a great experience for them, too. We went down to San Diego, went down a couple of days early, and they got to experience that while I went out and worked out and whatever the case may be. But as you know, San Diego's a relaxing and awesome place to go. And, you know, a lot of the players now, when they ask them their favorite place, it's always San Diego. In fact, it's one of my favorite places. Besides the cities I played in, San Diego is my favorite place to go visit. So that was an experience for me and my family to be able to play in California, period.
Guys that are getting this experience for the first time. Julio Teheran is getting this is his second experience. But Dansby Swanson going to the Futures game. This isn't an All-Star game for Dansby, but it's got to be special just to get into this kind of setting.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. For him to play on a big league field, for him to play around a lot of people who are going to come and see the All-Star game, to have a lot of those folks come out and see them and want to see what the future holds for some of these kids and baseball in itself, and for him to play against guys maybe he wouldn't play against even in the league that he plays in now. So I think it would be a great experience for him to get on that big league field and get out there and run around. And you know, also for him, you know Dansby a little bit. He's going to try to show people what he's capable of doing and that he's capable of doing it now, you know. So that'll be something special for him. And going to San Diego, I'm quite sure he's going to enjoy it. Whether he has a good game out there or not, he'll enjoy San Diego.
How about the Home Run Derby? I don't know if the Home Run Derby was a big deal in 1992, but I from the stories you've told me in the past, I think you always remember what Mark McGwire did.
Well, there's no doubt about that. I think he hit like 14 in a row at one point or something. It was over right then, the first round. It was over. You know, it was, I guess you could say it was exciting. You know, everybody wanted to see what guys could do with it. But like I said, Mark just took over the show.
Was that a time when you hear there was a time when the name was always National League versus the American League and it meant something to the players? Was there a competitive?
Yeah, there was, but once he got going, it was over. Like I said, it was over. It was National League versus American League then. Like I said, once Mark McGwire got going, it was Mark McGwire against the world, because there was nobody could even compete that day, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, but how about just even the game itself? Was it, you know, did players really want
to? Oh, yeah, you wanted to beat, no doubt about it. You wanted to try to beat the American League. They handed us a rear end whipping that day, if I remember correctly. But, you always wanted to go out and try to beat the American League. You know, everybody, even growing up, as you watched, you always wanted to prove whatever team you loved, whether it was the White Sox, whether it was the Cardinals, Cubs, the Dodgers, whatever team that was, you wanted to make sure your side, whether it was National League or American League, won that All-Star game. You wanted to prove your guys were better than the other side.